Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverSports.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverSports.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, here we go, here we go. March Madness is upon us. Those brackets are nice and fresh and clean and untouched. Fill them out and dream of March Madness bracket glory. CSU and CU are both dancing, but barely. If you watched the selection show yesterday on CBS, both CU and CSU are among the final four in. Now, in the case of CU, good job. They had to work hard to get themselves from off the bubble, onto the bubble, and barely get in, but they're in. CSU, I kept warning Rams fans, and they were like, oh, no, they're set, they're fine. I kept warning you, stop doinking around, or you're going to find yourself on the bubble and out of this thing. They get in, but barely get in, but they're in. And now they get a chance to show what they can do, but they have to play in the play-in games. CSU plays Virginia. CU plays Boise State. Mark, of the two, which one do you feel more confident advances to the first round?
It's so stupid.
It gets out of the play-in round. Yeah, I feel better about CSU on Virginia versus CU versus Boise State. It's Boise State.
I agree with you.
I think
CU and CSU are very, very comparable. I think they're, you know, they played a really good game earlier this season. Mm-hmm. I think they're kind of equal. I don't think there's a huge difference between the two, but I think CSU has the better matchup. Virginia is not Virginia. This is an underachieving Virginia team that plenty of people who analyze this are surprised that Virginia even made it. Boise State's a tough, blue-collar, does not beat themselves kind of team. So I like both teams to win, both CU and CSU, but I think CSU's got the better, I'm not going to say easier, but less difficult. I don't like to say easier, but less difficult matchup.
I just don't trust Boise State.
This is based out of Idahoan hatred.
Yeah.
It's a real turf war between Boise and Moscow.
Oh.
Because let's face it.
It's like the Jets and the, when you're a Jet.
Sharks?
Jets is it Sharks? Sharks and Jets? Know.
But, when you but is it fair to say that Boise is to Idaho what CU is to CSU? That Idaho has kind of the little brother syndrome when it comes to Boise.
You shut your mouth. Shut. You shut.
I think I just hit a nerve.
No. I mean, Boise is... Boise started off as a junior college.
Uh-huh.
And they've kept those standards.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They've kept the junior college.
I think we hit a nerve right there.
Standards.
Also, the CU women, with probably the best chance to go the deepest in any of these tournaments, they're a 5 seed, dreaded 5 seed, 5-12 game against Drake. So I don't think the 5-12 matchup is as dreaded on the women's side as it is the men's side.
I don't know. I've seen the new 6-11 matchup is the new 5-12. That's like 30's your new, or 40's your new 30.
Even these 4-13 matchups now.
Yeah, the 4-13s.
Can't wait for Kansas to get upset by Samford.
Yeah, when that happens, when the 13 beats the 4... Then the 4 is in the 420 matchup.
Can't wait for sad Jayhawk fan. That's always fun. James Merrillat, he'll join us later on this hour at 8:45, says the Broncos are taking a big gamble with their quarterback search. As James said, the Broncos are in this situation because they decided to part ways with Russell Wilson. And that... only option C appears to be the viable plan. Denver could make another trade, sign a free agent, or draft someone. As time goes on, only option C appears to be the viable path. Mike Kliss had this stat. Check this out, Mark. Of 23 quarterbacks who have come off the market over the last week, 20 free agents and would-be free agents, three trades, 23 quarterbacks, none wound up with the Broncos. What does that tell you?
It tells me that the Broncos understand that they're in a rebuilding process and they're not going after a Band-Aid. There's one guy that they liked, one guy they really wanted in free agency, and that was Sam Darnold, and the price got too steep for them because they're going to eat, you know, $52 million of Russ's dead cap space. So, hey, listen, man, when you know you're in a rebuilding process, chasing a quarterback that may or may not pan out is not going to be helpful. You want to build a football team. And so for them, I just don't see them moving up in this draft to chase a quarterback. I think the likelihood of moving down in the draft is more likely than moving up in the draft. I don't see them chasing a quarterback. I see them, you know, accumulating good football players, guys who they think is gonna they're gonna be great football players, are gonna morph into the Denver Broncos organization. And then, you know, if there's a quarterback out there that fits and falls where they think here's value, they'll take him. But I just don't see them chasing anybody.
Cecil Lammy writing at DenverSports.com. The Broncos chose not to go after Justin Fields. Heard a lot of that over the weekend. What? All it took was a conditional sixth-round pick that if he ends up playing a certain amount of time can go up to a fourth-round pick? Why didn't the Broncos take a shot at Justin Fields if that's all the price tag was?
Because that's a Band-Aid. So why didn't the Broncos just slap another Band-Aid on like they've done for the last 8 years? By the way, anybody look at Justin Fields' record with Chicago? Anybody look at his touchdown interception ratio? Anybody look at his completion percentage? Anybody seriously look at anything other than potential? Potential gets you fired. Justin Fields, it's not like he's lit anybody on fire. He's been in the losing quarterback, and you can sit there and point, well, Chicago, this Chicago. I think Chicago's got an excellent young defense. Excellent young defense. So, I mean, you're not trying to put another Band-Aid on it.
Cecil writes, I can admit that Fields is not a fit for Sean Payton, but I would have liked the Broncos to take a chance on that raw talent. The price to acquire him was so low, I'm a bit dismayed. Denver didn't throw a dart. Don't be surprised if Fields unseats Wilson at some point this year and he could finally develop into the franchise quarterback some thought he could be now that Tomlin is guiding him. If so many people agreed with Cecil and others out there that this is a talent that you have to take a shot on, why wasn't there more of a market for Justin Fields? Remember when this all began?
They thought they were going to get a first round.
People were saying, hey, you know, I'd give up a first, a late first, or definitely a second for Justin Fields. He got a conditional sixth. He goes into Pittsburgh with the understanding he starts as the backup. You know, folks, when you look at these quarterbacks, you have to look past the fact that, oh, they're exciting when they're out in open space. You know what that makes you? A running back playing quarterback.
Mm.
And there are plenty of running backs, so if you give them a chance to play quarterback, will look exciting running around and will make plays and will make something out of nothing. It doesn't mean they can play quarterback. And in a quarterback-starved league where franchises are selling their soul to try to find quarterbacks, Sam Howell drew more back in a trade than Justin Fields did. What's that tell you?
Sam Howell, a former fifth rounder, got traded for a fourth rounder. The, what was he, the What was Justin Fields, the 11th overall?
11th overall, yeah.
Gets traded for a 6th rounder that could become a 4th rounder if... It just goes to show you the market's spoken. And for all the people that are, like, it's amazing the excuse-making that goes up for a guy like Justin Fields. Talent, athleticism, the potential. Dude, at some point, don't you have to hold a guy accountable for what he is?
Especially after three years in the league.
As opposed to what he could be someday.
Especially after 3 years in the league. As the unquestioned guy for 3 years, at some point you got to put the responsibility on the player to get better. You got to stop making excuses. You got to stop blaming, his offensive line, his lack of receivers, his coaching. At some point you have to put the responsibility on the player. And, you know, I do the same thing here with Russell Wilson. There just seems like there's so many excuses made for the player. Since when did the player get absolved of his responsibility to go out and perform?
Right.
Why is it always somebody else's fault? Why can't you just look at the player and say, the player, he is the one to blame.
Right.
He has to blame himself. He has to look in the mirror.
Because, Mike, we live in a society where everybody's a victim. We've created this society where everybody's a victim and, woe is me, and it's not fair, and... you know, and somebody else is getting all the breaks and the world conspires against me. We have just developed, I mean, seriously.
Well, yeah, but I get what you're saying about people making excuses for themselves. Why the effort to go out and make excuses for somebody else?
Because life's not fair. That's what you've been taught. Life isn't fair. He's my guy. I mean, how many people in this town, seriously, raise your hands. How many people in this town went apoplectic when the Broncos chose Surtain over Justin Fields? What do you think you'd get in a trade for Surtain right now? You think you'd get a conditional 6th rounder? I mean, give me a break. The overall stupidity of the average, you know, analyst and again, the whole potential thing. Man, I don't care about potential. I care about production. Production is the key. And maybe it's just because, you know, I'm a former 10th rounder. But I want guys that can play, man. I want production. I want guys that do it the right way, not potential.
By the way, the two quarterbacks that were on the board, that draft, that everybody was discussing, everybody was debating, and it sure looked like they were in a position to pick one of the two, Justin Fields or Mac Jones. And trust me, if they picked either one, there would have been instant celebration among Broncos country that they had found their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Either one.
Yeah.
Both got traded for 6th-round picks just a couple years later. Think about that.
Oh, by the way, the guy that was taken 3rd overall in that draft is a 3rd stringer for the Cowboys.
Yep, Trey Lance. Zach Wilson's
looking for work. Dude, if you're getting a six rounder for Justin Fields, you know what that means? Zach Wilson has almost no.
They'll get a 6th rounder for him. I think you're seeing what the market is for these first round busts. 6th-round
picks. 2nd overall pick.
6th-round picks. Talk about depreciation. Drive it off the lot.
Right.
Holy smokes. Some other stories to get to. The Nuggets lose. The reaction of Michael Malone. I'm going to give you, in one fell swoop, here was Michael Malone's minute and a half press conference after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was steaming. Coach, what was the difference in the game?
I mean, I guess it was a fluke day. I mean, I can't remember the last time we got out-rebounded by 22.
Out-rebounded 60-37, giving up 22 offensive rebounds. What'd you see on that last possession, the Kyrie Irving game winner?
I saw Kyrie Irving make a running left-handed hook from the elbow. We've been on both sides of it. You know, we won games at the buzzer, and now we lost the game at the buzzer. Give them credit. Give Kyrie credit. Obviously, there's a lot of things down the stretch that we could have done better.
How about the defense on that last shot?
Yeah, if a guy's going to beat us making a left-hand, off-handed hook shot from the elbow, yes, I did.
And with that, he got up and walked off. He was teed off.
What do you
They're 11-2 now. They're not 11-1. They're now 11-2 since the All-Star break. And this guy is genuinely PO'd at the loss. Do you like that or a bit of an overreaction?
No, I like it. I like the fact that he understands, guys, like that's the only way we'll get beat come playoff time. You can't get out rebounded by, what was that? You said 60-37, so 23?
Mm-hmm.
You said 22 offensive glass rebounds?
Yep.
That's just good enough to get you beat. And it got him beat. Now, here's the good news. It happened in a regular season game. The bad news for them is, you know, all that talk about, hey, just being healthy and managing the season, they want the number one seed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
They want that number one
seed. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were the TV crew. For ABC was bringing up that same thing that Michael Malone is not going to sacrifice health for the number one seed. Okay, but he's certainly coaching to win hard every game. He wants that number one seed badly, and he's not worried about playing guys extra minutes or anything. He wants it, so it's kind of a mixed message there. But I'm fine with it, and I love the fact two things. One, I say this all the time about Michael Malone. The things he says, the way he acts, he knows he has permission from his best players to go out and react that way and coach that way and demand these kind of things publicly. He has the permission of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic to do that, and as long as he has it, he's fine. And the other thing is, we know this team just about always seems to respond whenever they lose a game like this and he's PO'd afterwards. So don't be surprised if they come out and dominate Minnesota tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would expect that to happen, especially with the fact that, you know, Cat's out. So,
couple other things happening. You know, we said this about a couple of Nugget games, like when they played Boston, Phoenix, you know, how like during the course of a long 82-game season, there are some games that come along and you're like, okay, this isn't just a regular season game. This is a playoff feel. Avs played one of those Saturday night against Edmonton. And there was a playoff type feel build up going into this game. MacKinnon versus McDavid, an Avalanche team that's been good all season, but looks like they've hit another gear since the trade deadline against an Edmonton team that got off to a horrible start, fired their coach, and have been red hot since then. A sense that, hey, this could be a Western Conference final preview, and then the two teams go out and play just an electrifying game where both teams treat it like a playoff game. And it was exciting hockey, great theater, and I'll tell you what, two more of these games with Edmonton coming down the stretch, including the final regular season game. Boy, I hope there's something at stake for both teams. And the idea of, hey, sign me up for a playoff matchup with these guys, that would be
Bednar,
great hockey. Yeah.
Bednar referred to both that and the Canucks.
Canucks.
But he referred to both those games as fast games.
Mm-hmm.
Like playoff hockey games where there weren't a lot of whistles and it was just, you know, pure skating and great hockey. And like he mentioned it, and those two teams, you know, those are, you said, those are playoff teams.
Yeah, it was a fast game. You know, that's two in a row. But I thought the Vancouver game was fast, too. Not a lot of whistles when both teams got going. Tempo, transition. You know, it was hard to create sustained ozone time. And I'm sure it was for them as well. Both teams had their, like, sort of momentum shifts. And I thought it was a great hockey game. I don't know what else you could ask for in a hockey game than watching that one tonight.
Yep, sometimes in the big 82, as I like to refer to the NBA and NHL seasons, far too many games. It's a long, long, drawn-out grind, especially for two teams that we know are going to be in the playoffs. So just get through it. But along the way, there are some matchups that come along where you're like, okay, this isn't just one of 82. Mm-hmm. This one's a little bit different, and that was definitely the feel on Saturday. One other story that I wanted to bring up. I'm curious to get your reaction to this because I know you haven't seen this. There's a report out there that the Rockies are working on a contract extension for Bud Black. This, according to MLB.com, that the two sides are talking, but that there seems as though there's some movement towards getting this deal done before opening day. How do you feel about Bud Black continuing to be endorsed as the manager of this team that's expected to lose over 100 games again?
I love it. I mean, I love Bud Black. He's one of my guys.
Do I sense a Bud?
No. I mean, he's just one of my guys. What do you want him to do?
So this is a guy.
Would you like him to step away saying you guys aren't serious about trying to win baseball games?
No, he's got to stay employed. I mean, if he got fired by the Rockies or if he resigned from the Rockies, who's gonna hire him?
Well, I mean, I think there's enough people around that know the Rockies, you know, understand their business model. But no, I'm happy about, listen, I feel like he's a great dude. I feel like he's a really good coach. I feel like, you know, our manager.
What you're saying is you don't blame, in the last two seasons, he's gone 127 and 197. I can't imagine too many coaches / managers who can go 127 and 197 and still keep their job. So what I'm hearing is you don't blame the state of the Rockies on Bud Black.
No.
Neither do I. But it speaks to the mind-numbing paralysis of the way they run things over there that they don't change anything. Like, how many times do you hear we're making a change for change's sake? We're going in a different direction. Mm-hmm. This team doesn't do that.
No.
Everything stays static over there at Stan, Pat, and Blake. Nothing gets changed. Nothing gets shaken up. Nothing, there's no sense of, hey, this hasn't worked. Why don't we try this?
But it all has worked.
Exactly.
It all has worked.
Exactly.
If you're top 10 in attendance every year, they're not trying to change that.
You're right. Sorry. Forgive me. I was...
Money.
I was choosing to look at this as just from a baseball standpoint, right. And shame on me because it's not about baseball over there. It's about business.
It's the business of baseball.
I know. What franchise can go 127 and 197 in 2 years and be widely expected to lose over 100 games again this year and nothing changes in the whole structure of the front office? Nothing changes with the manager. Nothing changes with the general manager. Nothing changes. I've never seen anything like it.
Inconceivable.
Well, drop out of the top 20 in attendance and you'll see some change for change's sake.
Yeah, that's me asking people to stay away from the ballpark, and it's not going to happen. And
it's great.
It's all
we
good.
Love other teams. We love baseball. Hey, we love going to Coors Field. It's awesome.
See Shohei play. Red Sox are coming here. Did you know that too?
Yeah.
So a lot to react there from the Denver Sports front page. Check it out, denversports.com. Always free to you. Fresh content throughout the course of the day. Up next, is Sean Payton's quarterback plan becoming clearer? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans Big Story of the Day.
Funny, it's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
James Merrillat will join us coming up in about 15 minutes. So much happening over the weekend. Nuggets, tough loss. Second guessing about Michael Malone's coaching down the stretch. Avs with another road win, 3-0 on this road trip. Look energized, look different since the trade deadline. Where are your expectations for them now? How much of a leap have they taken? March Madness, how you feel about the Buffs and Rams? And the ongoing Broncos quarterback saga. As Mike Kliss points out, and we'll talk to Mike tomorrow at 6:45, but he says that of the 23 quarterbacks that have come off the market, 20 free agents and would-be free agents and three by trades, none wound up with the Broncos. Now, there's still some guys out there that I guess the Broncos could still be in the market for. Ryan Tannehill's still out there. Zach Wilson is out there to be had in a trade. Seeing the value of what that would probably cost you, probably a mid-round, late-round pick. So is Sean Payton's quarterback plan becoming any clearer to you?
Yes. His quarterback plan is to build the best roster you can possibly build and not to chase Band-Aids. Isn't that clearly what he's saying right now? Where Minnesota trades away some things and accumulates another first rounder and the speculation is they're going up. Here they go. Right there at number four with the Arizona Cardinals. Because they've got their quarterback that they're going to have to replace in a year or two. I mean, there's no way Kyler Murray's going to be their long-term quarterback, is it? Is he?
Mark, if you're a believer that even with the awful, awful track record of quarterbacks going in the first round that you got to keep swinging, Arizona is a classic case. They gave up on Josh Rosen after 1 year. They got to give up on Kyler Murray now. Or not give up on him necessarily, but you gotta swing for the fences again because you can't think that he's the answer. And sitting there at number four, you should draft another quarterback, right? If you really subscribe to that model, then you should be swinging for the fences again, right?
I think my theory goes like this. Based upon what they've done, I don't think they're going after Ryan Tannehill. Who else is a veteran quarterback that's out there on the market? A guy that has some experience. Is there another guy besides Well, Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, he signed.
Oh, he did sign.
Yep.
Who'd he sign with?
Oh, geez. I just missed. God, there's been such a flurry. Did he go to the Rams?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. He did go to the Rams. He went to the Rams.
Yep.
You're right. So he'll miss the first couple of games. So he's going in a backup role. But, he probably got $6 million or something. There's just you're not paying $6 million to Ryan Tannehill to come babysit the quarterback room. You've got that guy already. His name is Jared Stidham. I don't think they're going to mortgage the future and try to maximize draft capital over the next couple of years and try to draft themselves out of this doldrum they've been in for the last 8 years. And listen, if they don't get the quarterback of the future, so they take Spencer Rattler in the third round. Great. If you can play, awesome. If not, that's all right, because guess what? There'll be a whole nother crop of quarterbacks that nobody's talking about right now that will be can't-miss propositions that will miss. So they'll be there for the taking next year if you want to go that direction.
I'd love it if Sean Payton picked a quarterback in the first round because it would mean that you're getting the Sean Payton endorsement. And ultimately, why did you give up a lot to trade for him? Why are you paying him a lot? Why are you giving him all this power to figure out the quarterback position? I hope he finds somebody that he loves and drafts him. But the last thing I want Sean Payton to do is reach. The last thing I want Sean Payton to do is join the herd mentality of, oh boy, I need a quarterback, so let's throw a dart at one of these guys. Right. I hope he doesn't do that. And I hope that if there isn't anybody that he absolutely loves, I hope he just drafts a really good football player. Continue to build up the football team.
Mm-hmm.
So then it just comes down to they're going to draft a quarterback, right?
You
don't know where.
I don't know where. It might be that Pratt kid. I don't know. Let me ask you this. Do you see Sean Payton right now spending draft capital to move up and go chase a quarterback?
Oh, I'm torn on that one because, for one, we have seen from his history in New Orleans, He has never hesitated to give up draft capital, even future draft capital, for the next season to go after a player to move up. But I also am taking at his word what he said at the combine when he said, I'm counting on the fact that we're better at this than other teams are.
Mm-hmm.
Arrogant statement. Better back it up. But I take that comment to mean I can do more with less at the quarterback position. I don't have to reach. I don't have to chase. I can take a Michael Pratt or a Spencer Rattler or a Jarrett Stidham, and I can do as much with those guys as I could do with a Bo Nix or a J.J. McCarthy.
What would it take for the Broncos to move from 12 to 8? Because you got to think about it. Like,
they don't have a second-round pick right now.
Right. How many third-rounders do they have?
I think they have one third-rounder. They are stocked right now with fifth and sixth-round picks.
Unless you dip into 2025, you don't have enough capital to move from 12 to 8.
Right. Right. You'd have to give up. You'd have to give up your first and third round pick this year, and then you'd probably have to give up your first round pick next year.
Right.
Do you want to do that? Do you want to do that for J.J. McCarthy? You want to do that for Bo Nix? Or do you want to trust the fact that your quarterback or your coach can go out and do more with less?
Mm-hmm.
Or recognize that, you know what? Even if I do like this quarterback, he's going to be brought into a situation where it's going to be difficult for him to succeed because we don't have that good of a team around him. So let's continue to build up the team.
So theoretically, I'm just looking up a draft capital value chart. So the 8th overall pick is worth 1,400 points, and the 12th overall pick is worth 1,200 points. So you could go, that's a 200-point difference. So you could go into the third round, and theoretically, you could trade up from 8 to 12 or from 12 to 8 and give up your third rounder as well. And that would at 76, your third rounder 76, that would essentially get you from 8 to 12 with Atlanta, or from 12 to 8. I said that backwards again. From 12 to 8 with Atlanta.
Problem is, you got to beat whatever offer Minnesota's going to make to move up. Because Minnesota's moving up.
Yes, they are.
So you got to be able to beat their offer.
Right.
And what if the Raiders decide they want to move up? You got to beat their offer. And let's face it, they have more draft capital than the Broncos
do. Yeah. That's just why I don't think they're going to chase. Hey, if there's a guy they love that happens to fall to them at 12, then they'll take him. But my gut tells me they either pick a football player at 12 or they trade out of 12 and try to accumulate an extra football player.
And pick a quarterback in the day two.
Yeah.
Day two, day three, second, yeah. Third round type thing.
Correct.
Michael Pratt, Spencer Rattler types. Okay. Up next, James Merrillat. How'd he feel about Russ's debut press conference in Pittsburgh? Was James waving his terrible towel? Next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Here he is. Where's the terrible towel? James Merrillat, where's your terrible towel?
It's on order. It'll probably arrive with my Russ jersey. I went with the black Russ jersey, not the white one. I think that's gonna look better.
Does it have the captain's sign on the?
That's a good question. I don't know.
But
might
the picture
have that.
He posted Walter, of himself had the captain on there.
Does it have the Walter Payton?
The Walter Payton, yeah. Man of the Year.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I want all of it. Yeah. I want all the patches. So we shall see.
Apparently his team already decided he was a captain.
So are you worried at all about your man Russ now that Justin Fields is there?
No.
No?
No. You know, when he signed there, everybody was telling me, he's not going to beat out Kenny Pickett. I'm like, okay, well, that lasted a long time. And Justin Fields isn't going to beat him out. I think that's an interesting quarterback room, though, and a relatively inexpensive quarterback room for the Steelers. That's got a lot of potential, a lot of talent in it. So No, I'm feeling good that come wild card weekend when I make my annual trip to Las Vegas, I can wear my Russ jersey and watch my Steelers.
I can't wait to see
your
the mess.
Steelers. Yeah,
I can't wait. That room.
Oh,
that
is not going to go over well.
That's a Mensa meeting right there in that room. Who are they going to hire to make sure that you know they can talk actual X's and O's in that room?
I get it. I get it. But you know what? I'm kind of over the Mensa quarterbacks. Mm. I don't need the Northwestern grad. Give me the guy that can run around and make some plays. Like, seriously, for what Pittsburgh gave up for Justin Fields, wouldn't that have been a worthwhile gamble for the Broncos to take? Kick those tires a little bit. Just be like, let's see if this kid can play.
But if the idea, whether you like it or not, was, hey, we're going to give up all this trade capital for Sean Payton, we're going to pay Sean Payton, we're going to give him all this power, shouldn't he be allowed to coach a quarterback that he feels a fit with?
Yes, he should, but I have a fundamental issue with a coach in any sport who has to have a guy who can run their system. It drives me crazy when it's, you got to fall in love with my system, or you got to play my system. Like, to me, I'm a John Harbaugh guy. He won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, and he has a really good team with Lamar Jackson. You couldn't have two quarterbacks that are more different. Like, one's a statue, and the other guy's arguably the best running quarterback in the history of the league, and that's a guy that can adapt and bring in the coaches that he needs to in order to get the most out of the talent that he has.
But wouldn't you say that the Nuggets have an idea of a sense of the kind of player they want? Don't you think the Avalanche, when they were looking to go out and make trades, had a sense of what kind of player they wanted to fit their systems?
Now they do, but think how much outside the box the Nuggets had to think when they decided to go with Jokic. And instead of Nurkic, Nurkic is more the traditional center, put him down on the block. Like, to run your entire offense through your center as like a point guard, nobody else does that. Nobody else had done it because he has a unique skill set. It's different than how you've seen basketball played, really, probably outside of Europe, but in the States, you don't see basketball played that way. And they were willing to think outside the box. And then now that they know that, and that's what they are, they build around it. It drives me nuts that, hey, we got to have a guy that can run my system. It's what Mike Shanahan did in 1999 with Brian Griese instead of Bubby Brister, because Bubby drove him nuts and Bubby could go into the huddle and not spit out the plays correctly. And I'm sure Brian was better at the whiteboard on Wednesdays, but they weren't a better football team. And Stink, you know this better than anybody with Brian than they were with Bubby. And it's the same mistake Gary Kubiak made when he said, you know what, we're going to defend a title with a guy who's taken one snap and it was a kneel down. Because he's better at the whiteboard than Mark Sanchez. It just is silly to me.
I understand your points. I don't necessarily agree with them, but I completely understand them. But moving forward, all right, that ship has sailed. So that's gone. You look at what they're doing, not jumping into the free agent market. Now, they tried or they had interest in Sam Darnold, but that seems to be the only guy they truly had interest in this offseason. If you're reading the tea leaves, what are the tea leaves telling you about their quarterback plan going forward and the draft?
It's telling me it's all about the draft. And this is actually what I wrote about at DenverSports.com this morning. I think it's a big gamble. Like, if they were sitting at 6, right? If they were in the Giants spot and they wanted to just say, you know what? We're not interested in any of these guys. And for the most part, I'm fine with them not being interested in these guys. Like, who cares? Just another journeyman quarterback that maybe can get them to mediocre, I have no interest in. So if they want to go young and they want to go all draft, that's fine. But when you're at 12, there's no guarantee you're going to get your guy. Like, if they're in love with J.J. McCarthy, he could be gone at 6 to the Giants. And yeah, you can trade up, but you're going to have to give up a lot. And you need a partner in order to trade up. There's no guarantee that's going to happen. So they could be sitting there at 12 and stuck. And listen, I hope they take Brock Bowers, because I think that's a guy that would help this team a lot. But then who's your quarterback? Because they haven't given themselves a backup plan or another option at this point. I think it's a huge gamble because they're not in a draft spot where they can control their own destiny. It's not like they're sitting at 6. There's 6 quarterbacks they like. Like, well, we're going to get one of them. They could be stuck. They're playing a game of musical chairs, and the music's about to stop, and I'm not sure they're going to have a chair.
Can we bounce around with you a little bit here?
Yeah.
Some other topics. Do you blame Michael Malone for the loss yesterday in Dallas?
It wasn't a great job of handling things down the stretch. It really wasn't. You know, I mean, look, they've lost 2 games since the All-Star break. One took Kevin Durant hitting a 27-footer to tie the game and force it into overtime against the Suns. And one took two incredible shots last night. I mean, the Luka shot was ridiculous, and then Kyrie's game winner, a left-handed hook runner over Jokic. No, not really. I'm not. And look, I'm not a huge Michael Malone guy. And, you know, when you take your timeouts with you into the locker room and you lose, that's questionable. But he trusts his team. Jamal Murray with a wide-open 15-footer, I'll take that all day long.
Exactly.
I will take that all day long, and it just didn't drop. So, no, that was a bummer, though. That was a disappointing loss. And then about 10 minutes later, I find out the Buffs are going to have to play a play-in game, which is ridiculous. So
why? Yeah.
Wisconsin's a 5 seed. Wisconsin's one of the 20 best teams in the country.
Yeah, right.
That's ridiculous. Like, the committee's love affair with the Big Ten is...
How did Michigan State get in?
Obscene.
What are they, 19-14?
Yeah, and the
Stop
Buffs,
it.
24-10, most wins in the history of the program, and they got to go play in Dayton to even make it into what I consider actually making it into
right.
the tournament, I think is kind of a bunch of BS. I really do. You played in the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be in a play-in game.
Who do you feel better about? Who you think you have more confidence in winning their play-in game, CU or CSU?
CU.
Over Boise versus CSU over Virginia.
Part of it's the opponent, and part of it is CU's playing well. I mean, they played good basketball. I mean, they were 16-9 at one point, or 16-8, something like that. But then they're playing good basketball, and CSU struggled down the stretch. So just in terms of, like, hey, who's hot? Then you want to be hot going into the playoffs, hot going into the tournament. The Buffs are hot, and the Rams are not.
How do you feel about the news that the Rockies are trying to extend their manager and Bud Black?
Bud Black's a nice guy. I'm sure he knows a lot about baseball, but it is just another sign that they just don't care. They just don't care. It doesn't matter. They want to have people in there that they like and that they're comfortable with and who agree with them and who, you know, just a bunch of yes men, and we're all on the same page and we're going to pat each other on the back. Like, it does send a message, at least to the fan base, of like, we're going to try something different, to just continue to rinse and repeat with not even mediocrity, with like, hey, we're getting D minuses and we're going to keep studying the same way we've been studying for all these tests. Then you just don't care. That's the message it sends to me. They just don't care.
Last one. Has the Avs' recent surge since the trade deadline made you confident that they are now a legitimate Stanley Cup contender?
They're a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, but this team worries me because, by and large, in the postseason, they flop. They're usually a first or second round exit. There's one exception.
For 1 year, yeah.
It's the year they won the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a big exception. I get it. We know they have that potential. But this isn't a team that's like the Lightning, right? Where during their Lightning, you're like, hey, we've won a couple of cups. We lost in the final. We lost in the Eastern Conference final. Like, all right, that's a good resume of what you've done during kind of your window. The Avs window, for the most part, has been underwhelming.
So boom or bust.
And if they get through the MacKinnon era and they've got one cup and they've only been to one Stanley Cup final, I do think it's a miss. So I'm worried about this team. If they can get through the first round, then I think they're going to win the Cup, but I'm worried about them just kind of getting the locomotive out of the station, so to speak.
Okay. All right. I disagree with you, but okay. Fair enough.
But I like it.
It's true. It is true, though. If you look at the MacKinnon era, the MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen era, yeah, it's been first and second round upsets and
by the way,
exits, and then one championship.
When does Landy come back?
Okay. Like, thank you, James. All right. See you later.
Any minute now?
Any minute now. Okay. Lot to react to, as always, including Michael Malone's shortest press conference of the year. You'll hear it all next.